We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey everyone, before we get started, I want to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our exclusive community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we will help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is you can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports podcasting experience. Take it from me. I work on the Hustle program. It's a very exciting program. The progress that these Hustle podcasters have made already is so, so cool and impressive and fun to watch and be a part of. So get your application in today because acceptance into the program is limited. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. You can also check out the description box for this episode to find out more, but that's bwhustle.com/join.
Blue Wire.
NBA Most Valuable Player, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis trailing the lob. Oh! Giannis Antetokounmpo.
1 second. Middleton. Yeah!
Hey there, welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I am Ty Windisch, and I was joined as always by my spontaneous co-host Rohan Kadi, live on Locker Room this week for our Bucks investing session on the Bucks stock market. We're going to be doing these live every week on Sunday, usually Sunday mornings, but since the Bucks played the Clippers, we first talked about the Clippers game and included that analysis into the investment session in the early evening, late afternoon in the GOAT time zone, Central Standard Time. So make sure to follow Rohan and myself at Arcadi Jr. at Ty Windisch on Locker Room app on the App Store. Download the app, get on there, follow us, be ready next Sunday. But you will always find the Eurostep on this here feed. So without further ado, let's get to this live investment session of the Buck Stock Room on Locker Room.
We have a whole lot to talk about. It is going to be very fun. Clearly, the Bucks with an exciting, thrilling victory against the Los Angeles Clippers, a team that Milwaukee has just done well against in recent years. The Bucks have, I feel like, I don't want to say handled business, but I do think handled business may be accurate. I feel like the Bucks are good against this team. Rohan, how's it going?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm better than I thought I was going to be at certain points during this game, but I'm glad the Bucks got out of it with a W, and I'm glad we are here to talk about these stocks. I know folks are wanting to come up and chat. You know what? Should we talk about the game a little bit first and then get into the market?
I think that would be a great idea because this game is just – it's so fresh. And
yeah.
My goodness, was that a game.
Yeah. It's too fun not to talk about. So let's hear – I know Jake first. Let's hear what Jake had to say. We'll share some thoughts throughout. But what is up, Jake?
How's it going?
Good, good, man. What are your immediate thoughts here?
Yeah.
Post game, Bucks Clippers, close Bucks win. What did you see?
I thought it was nuts that the Clippers took out a rim protector toward the end of the game, like the last 4 or 5 minutes. That to me was like shocking, just because like once that happened, like Giannis got whatever he wanted, and like you know he was getting fouled and he was hitting the free throws. But really what I saw was the Clippers' offense just completely stalled, like, down the stretch. And it looked like the Bucks' defense looked like a lot. Like they locked in a little bit. But the Clippers' offense was my takeaway. Like, they could not do anything down the last 3-4 minutes. I mean, you know, their defense was pretty good down the stretch besides, you know, a couple Giannis, you know, uncontested dunks and stuff. But offensively, man, they struggled down the stretch.
Yeah, you really notice they don't get to the rim. They just don't get to the rim. I feel like it's such an issue for them. They just don't do it. And, like, you're not going to hit enough jumpers to overcome that, I think, if the other team gets to the rim and you don't get to the rim. It was interesting. They took out Zubats. Thanks for hopping on, Jake. I want to get through people fast here. But I don't know. I kind of see it, why they took out Zubats. He's not going to really survive on the perimeter. And the Bucks were making some shots. But I do think Clippers not getting to the rim played a huge role in their offense, really the Bucks stalling them out late in this game.
Yeah, I think it was more a problem with the Bucks defense. Not a problem, like they were causing problems for the Clippers offense. Because they were going to switch everything scheme. They were trying to attack Dante a bit late. I know Nekias Duncan was trying to point this out a bit on Twitter. He was just talking about how they were going after Dante on switches and it wasn't really working out for them. Paul George missed a layup late and then Dante drew he got a foul called on him, but it was still they couldn't do anything on like a Paul George Kawhi pick and roll because you're creating no advantage for yourself there. If the Bucks are switching, if they're switching Middleton and Dante, you're not getting a mismatch there.
Yeah, and I think it really, somebody tweeted this at me right as we were about to hop on here, but like the Bucks defensive lockdown kind of starts right as Brook Lopez exits the game. I don't think that was coincidental. I think Brook had some nice moments in the Pelicans game because his matchup was Zion, and Zion is like the disparity between what he does around the rim and what he can do farther from it is like Giannis level. So like you can actually drop away from him and just like you're so much better off with him shooting a jumper than you are him getting anywhere close to the rim that it works out. And in this game, that was not the case clearly with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard and all these other dangerous Clippers, but I do feel like this Clippers team just they just get tight. I don't know if any team gets as tight as the Los Angeles Clippers does. I think it's because they don't get to the rim. They settle for jumpers consistently. And, yeah, a little interesting that Zubats and even Serge Ibaka don't play more down the stretch. But I don't know if anybody was stopping Giannis. This was a man on a mission today.
Yeah, a completely man on a mission here. It felt like sort of a breakout game, not because he was sort of like struggling earlier. He's been putting up monster numbers for the last couple games, but it sort of felt like he was unlocking more of himself than he has before. He felt like he didn't have to work as hard to get to his spot. Am I wrong in saying that?
I think there was a stretch where he was pressing a bit, really against Zubats when Zubats was in there. He missed them. You don't want to say bunnies, they were hard shots, but he put his head down, he just kept going straight to the rim over and over and over. And he wasn't getting results for a little while, and he actually got pulled out, I think it was in the third quarter, the stretch I'm talking about, and when he came back in, he seemed like re-locked in again and kind of had the vision back. Early in this game, he was diming. I think 4 of his 5 assists took place in the first half, but he did get away from that. I think he was a little tunnel vision-y in the third quarter. It was great to see him, though, to what your point. He came out in that fourth quarter and really looked like he was in control. And I know people in the chat are saying, I do not disagree, looking like an MVP candidate in not just in the fringes, looking like a legit top 3 MVP candidate in this game.
For sure, for sure. I've been beating this drum for a little bit now, ever since he's gone on the streak. But it's just, he needs to be in that conversation. He really does. Like, I hate being the person that's like, oh, he needs to be in consideration, right? Like, what does that mean? If you're not going to, like,
that's
have
thing.
A chance to win,
the
Wes Matthews Memorial spot.
Yeah, it's consider him at least.
Yeah, you got to consider him. But I think he does have a legitimate case to be an MVP this season. I don't think that's absurd. I doubt he's going to win it because
no.
I think only
yeah.
Larry Bird and like Bill Russell have won it three times in a row.
Yeah, but, I think there's a level of fatigue. And I think if you're not winning rings in between them, it's really hard to sustain.
Yeah, especially because most people, I will say, do not realize what Milwaukee is doing differently this year compared to last
yeah.
season. And
yeah.
that just goes to NBA discourse as a whole. But yeah, Eric Peterson says right.
Voter
fatigue.
Yeah, 100%. I'm trying to figure out how to gem. I feel like – I know you can give people gems. I want to gem this, but I can't figure it out right now. Do I have to double tap? No? I don't know. We'll figure out the gems as we go. We'll figure out everything as we go. That's kind of the theme of this podcast. But I don't know. Other things from this game – I mean, we can almost get right into the stocks. Since Giannis's MVP case, the last four Bucks games – or no, the last three Bucks games, he's gotten plus two on his stock price from 17 to 19 to 21 to 23 – So rapidly rising. It's hard to get double stocks when you're already that good, but Giannis is just such a dominant force lately, and he's been really taking over games late. I swear I did update, Eric, but I appreciate you helping out. I think I am updated. I'm not sure why my gems aren't working. Maybe I'm just so committed to stocks that my gems aren't working. But let's talk stocks, and I think we're going to weave Clipper game stuff in here because obviously – some of the movement is going to be, obviously, it's tied to that Clippers game, so it's hard to do the stocks without talking about the game. But, Rohan, your portfolio, I did the math quickly here, very quickly. So if I'm wrong, feel free to call me on this. I have it as a value of 77 units right now. A lot of big positives. The one share of Giannis is now up to 23, which is a new record on the Bucks stock market. That is buoying you a lot. Three shares of Pat C, one share of Chris Middleton, but three shares of Tanasis is worth 15 now, so that's really helping. Two shares of Craig is good, but the four shares of Bud and six shares of Brook Lopez bringing that price down. Does my count seem accurate to you?
I think it is. I'm decent mathematician, I will say.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's that's a lot of numbers right there. I'm gonna take your word for it.
It's so many numbers. It's way too many numbers. So I'm coming in at 97 according to my math. Literally, like my whole portfolio, the two shares of Giannis, which are worth a combined 46 on the market. Also got one Bobby Portis at 17, five Pat C. People keep saying you're the Pat C investor. I have five shares of Pat Connaughton. I am the Pat C investor. I am sitting pretty at a total value of 15. One Chris, we both have two Sam Merrills. I just have the one Bud, and I have four DJA coins that are worth a grand total of zero. So investments last week, I think both of us did pretty well. You doubling down on Tanasis was brilliant. That really paid off.
Hey,
that was a
I'm
good
telling
buy.
You, he is good. He is legitimately good. I'm sure we're going to get
right.
into more of it now in a little bit here. But, man, he's actually good.
I'd like your tweet about him pre-switching, kind of the like getting to the shooters earlier than most of the rest of the Bucks, because you're right. And I do feel like the most common Tanasis knock, or Tanasis? Apparently it's Tanasis. There's a controversy.
I've been saying Tanasis, and you've been saying Tanasis, and we've just sort of accepted that we both say it differently. I haven't brought it up or anything.
I'm going to try to switch to that.
Yeah.
I think it's Tanasis. Someone shared a video of when he was with the Knicks, and they asked him, and he said Tanasis. So I don't know if that was him just being polite and going with an Americanized version, but I'm going to assume I was wrong. I'm just going to go with Tanasis. Until I'm not going to switch now. Jim Marcus are different, too. Another way, Rohan and I are just like – Jim Paschke and Marcus Johnson. I'll let the listeners figure out who is who. Rohan's Marcus.
Why is that, Ty?
I feel like you have a better chance of dunking than me. So that's it right there. I definitely cannot dunk.
I mean, neither can I. But
well,
okay.
See, you should have kept some mystery. I think people might have bought that you could dunk. I don't think people were thinking I was dunking. Regardless, where was I with this?
Tanasis.
Oh,
so you were talking about his
yeah.
three rotations on defense, and I want to talk about that first.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's weird to see a Milwaukee Bucks sort of being that insanely in tune on defense, because in the Milwaukee Bucks era under Mike Budenholzer, you have not seen a player sort of fly across the court in terms of recovery before passes happen. Am I wrong in saying that?
I think you see flashes. Dante will do it sometimes.
Dante will go and get into passing lanes. He will not go and cover shooters that are not open.
Yeah, that's fair.
So what he does is he recognizes where players are supposed to be, you know, going when they're on the offensive end. And in terms of, like, when, let's say, for example, in this game, when Kawhi drives and he sort of, like, kicks it out to, like, Terrence Mann on the perimeter, Thanasis recognizes that Kawhi Leonard has a outlet to Terrence Mann, and he doesn't want to allow an open shooter. So before he even passes, as Kawhi is driving, he closes that lane before it even opens. I've never seen a Milwaukee Buck do that in the last 3 years, and it's just amazing to see, because he's a high IQ defender, and he might be the highest IQ defender on the team.
I think now you're getting in this stretch territory. You had me. I'm gonna go.
Who else?
Drew Holiday. Thinking about it.
Yeah. Okay. Second most.
I'll put you in. He's in the combo for second most. How about that?
Okay, I'll take
it. He's in the combo.
Which is better than I expected him to be on the team.
Agree. And to Eric's point, who just chimed in again, we got to get Eric up here eventually. But he is fast AF, too, and that helps. Like, that's the Brook Lopez thing to me. Like, I don't think Bobby Portis is a smarter defender than Brook Lopez, but he's faster. And, like, it makes a huge difference, because Bobby Portis, I see multiple times a game, like, similar starting positions for those two in the paint, closing out to a shooter. And every single time, Brooks guy gets the shot off, and like half the time or more, Portis gets out there fast enough to not let the shot get off, and it's like such a huge difference in covering shooters. But we were talking Thanasis. That was my short last week. That clearly didn't work. The opposite of work. Started the week worth 3, now is worth 5, so I'm not even close. You came close this time on Bryn Forbes.
I did.
It ended up being even. Close only counts in horseshoes, unfortunately for you, but you shorted him at 11. He's still at 11. He rose to 12 and then dropped 1 in game 33, which was Friday night's game, I believe. Or Thursday?
Yes.
Thursday.
It was Thursday.
Yeah, they actually had 2 days off. It felt crazy to me, this wild season. But neither of our shorts pay off, so we both have 20 to invest. We've invested 60 so far, I think. Or at least we've started with 60. So you're plus 17, I'm plus 9, I'm plus whatever. It's a good time to be on the Bucks stock market. Or we've invested in 65, excuse me.
It's better than I was at last week.
Yeah, it certainly is better. That's what happens when you win 5 straight games, which the Bucks have now. Is it 5 or 4? Excuse me. I think it's 5.
4. Is it 4? I think it's 4. I could be wrong.
They're on a winning streak, folks, and that's what matters. A lot of up stocks, some down stocks, but a lot of up stocks on this winning streak. And it's now time for us to invest in the market. We both have 20. Neither of our shorts paid off. If we had shorted the stock and it dropped, we would have 25 to invest, but that did not work out. We have 20 each, which means officially now you cannot buy Giannis unless you sell a position in positives. His price is too expensive. It's like freaking Tesla out here. You got to buy fractional. We're not doing that. It would be a nightmare for me. So, Rohan, you're going to have to start off here. Who are you investing in, my friend?
Okay. First, I will say you were right. The Bucks are on a 5-game winning streak.
Yes. Ty gets a number right. Let's go.
Momentous. Hey, it's good. I'm happy to be wrong there.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have $20 to invest. First thing I want to do here, realistically, I should probably sell a bit of stock here.
Okay.
And the first stock I want to sell, I want to sell one share of Torrey Craig.
Oh, divesting. So you had 2, selling 1 Craig for 6.
Yeah. He is just in jail right
now. Vanished.
Yeah.
He's totally
vanished.
I don't
know what happened there. Maybe it's just that Thanasis is playing too well to sort of, you know, open up a spot.
So that's the thing. I keep seeing this Torrey Craig fatigue, and the problem with hating the Thanasis minutes is that he's just playing well, folks. He's doing good things.
Yeah, he really is. You can't even knock the minutes. You really can't. There's no real downside to him playing these sort of minutes. And what did he play in this game? 5 minutes? Like, it wasn't that even big of a stretch. He took one shot, which is just an absolute heat check of a three.
It was a good shot, but because it was him taking it, it was a heat check. I thought the same way.
Yeah, it was like, a heat check because he's been playing well recently. Like, it's one shot heat check for, like, 1 week worth of good play.
But the funny thing is, like, if Pat Connaughton had taken the shot, it would not have stood out to me at all. I would have said, like, oh, good shot, Pat. But because it was Thanasis, I was like, bro, are you serious? Like, there's like 12 on the shot clock, and you take a wide open catch and shoot three? That is bold, my friend.
Yes. Just a heat check shot for him. But even that, it's fine. In reality, like, in the grand scheme of things, it's a good shot, right? It's fine. Who cares? Yeah. So you can't really be mad at his minutes. So that's why I'm really realistically selling one share of Torrey Craig here. I'm going to keep one just in case. Just in case. But I need to sell one.
You got it. You can't keep all of them.
No.
Hey, Bucks Breakdown. Hey, Drake, how's it going? DJ Augustine, plus 17. George, correctly identifying single game plus minus is useless. That is a correct take, my friend. It is fun to look at sometimes, though. Got to keep up with the chat during the stock market. We love to see the reactions. Are you selling any other stocks? You're selling one, Craig. You got a lot of value, some negative value, but you're up to 26 now to spend with that sale.
So I might have to – I think I'm going to sell one share of Sam Merrill as well. I think
we got
a little overzealous of thinking he's going to play a bit because he was active. And he did play for a few minutes in the last couple games, but – when it comes down to it, he's not going to be playing actual minutes. So I'm going to sell one share of Sam Merrill.
And his minutes weren't terrific. And I think – I don't want to say it's completely put to bed. I know there are Sam Merrill believers out there. I don't think he's going to be a rotation player this season. I think he's like a couple guards are out and the Bucks don't really care about this game, which we have not had any games like that this year, which is kind of weird, kind of refreshing. But I still – we're going to get there eventually. I do think that. But it does feel like they're taking the regular season serious in a different way. Like, you can just look at Chris's Giannis minutes to confirm this. Like, they play a lot, even in games that are pretty much decided. But I don't think we're ever going to see a ton of Sam Merrill. I don't think we should necessarily see a ton of Sam Merrill. But there's a long way to go with determining, I think, some of the guard rotation. There's already a DJ Augustine debate happening in the chat right now, which – is fair. I think DJ Augustine has somehow become polarizing, which is kind of hilarious. But yeah, I think selling.
I think it's valid. The polarization is valid. He has his good flashes, but I still think he has a sort of negative value, which is why he's what, zero right now.
Yeah, he is in zero value for DJ Augustine.
Which is the ultimate just polarization right there. The stock market reflects it, people.
Yeah, the market knows. The market knows more than people do.
Yeah. So are you going to sell? I'm going to be done selling here. I sold one to Sam Merrill.
You know.
Are you making any sales here, Ty?
I think I am. I think I want to get a little more active in the market here than I would. I'm going to have the same amount as you, but I'm going to sell both of my shares of Sam Merrill for $8. It's just like more so than me thinking it's going to drop. I really just don't see a lot of movement coming here because we just talked about this. So, like, why hold on to this Sam Merrill – or for four, excuse me. I have four. I have four, not eight. But why hold on to this Sam Merrill that I don't expect to perform very well, if at all, when I could put that somewhere else, including now I'd have enough to get a Giannis if I chose to. So, yeah, I'm going to move on from my Sam Merrill stock. But I think – oh, it's tempting to move on from Pat here because I do think – it's just a volatile stock, right? Anything can happen with that kind of stock.
I will say.
Very scary.
What did he shoot today? Let me pull this up really quick. Two of five from the field, one of three from three. Still had a good impact. So I think we might be turning the corner here with that, where even though he's struggling with the shot, he can still be a positive player.
I agree. I'm going to it's feeling – holding five is tough. I'm going to hold, though.
I forget you have five.
Yeah, I'm taking Pat C. Coin to the moon. I'm going to hold because if he has another couple of good games this week, I could cash out of Pat doing very well. This is fool's gold probably, but I'm going to let it ride. So I think it's buying time here on the Bucks stock market. You have 28 – what are we – Bucks coin? I thought we have currency in our merch store. That reflects what we actually spend. A literal
Bucks
coin. I don't know. Bucks coin. I have 24 of currency, whatever the currency is. Who are you investing in? You can afford at least one of anyone.
I'm going to pick me up a Drew Holiday here.
Oh, I love that purchase. And I love that you did that for the podcast, too, because now we can segue perfectly into talking about Drew.
Yes, that was the plan. So
there we go.
I'm going to pick one of Drew Holiday, and that is because he returned tonight.
He did
his first game back after 10 games. He did not start. He was on a minutes restriction, only ended up playing 18 minutes in this game. He did struggle. He looked like he had missed a bunch of time and actually dealt with the virus, which he did.
Yeah.
So it's fair to say that he did not look like the normal Drew Holiday that we had been seeing. He seemed like he was trying to force some stuff. His passes were a little errant. Didn't shoot well, like I said, 1 of 5 from the field, 0 of 5 from three. He had a quick trigger on some threes. I feel like he wanted to get rolling early, get hot early, and it just did not go his way in his first game back here against the Clippers. However, you want to know when he was out there, Ty?
When was he out there?
He was out there at crunch time.
Yes, he was.
And that's what matters.
Defending.
So even though he did not start, even though he's not great on offense here, he was still playing his Drew Holiday defense late in the game against a Clippers team that is capable of being very potent, as we were talking about up top. He was just – he's so good. I missed Drew so much. I missed him so much. I'm sure all of you missed him too. But just – he brings such a different perspective in terms of basketball style to this team that is very much needed and you could tell was very much lacking from this team. And he's back. He's back, baby.
It was tremendous to see him back. We need to talk about the most exciting play from this game on all fronts. A new sideline out of bounds play, Rohan.
Yes.
Where basically it's I might get some of the early part of this wrong, so please feel free to assist me here. But basically, kind of a tricky high-low action. I don't know if I want to call it a pick-and-roll, per se, but there's an action with Chris and Giannis, and the Clippers predict – or with Drew and Giannis, excuse me. The Clippers predictably panic and both go with Giannis. And Giannis immediately feeds underneath to Drew, who cuts to the basket. Drew finds – does he find Chris or Pat? And then I know the ball gets to Pat. There might be someone in between who first got it from Drew and then it getting to Pat. But then Pat gets it to Giannis in motion for just an incredible slam dunk. I was too overcome by emotion, I think, to accurately remember. So please help me out. What did I get wrong about this play? You know the play I'm talking about.
Yeah. I think you were right here in terms of your description of the play. But
yeah.
Again, like I don't remember the exact details. I wish I had it in front of me right now.
Like I feel like I blacked out when I saw it go down because you just like it's the we've been screaming for more ball and player movement to spring Giannis in late games for so long, and that's exactly what this was. And the ball movement was great, and the Clippers all get pulled away to these shooters, and suddenly it's like when a running back catches a screen pass and there's just daylight and blockers around him. Giannis almost looked surprised when he first got the ball. He was like, oh my, I get the ball in a crunch time situation, and I can just go dunk it, it's rules. And he throws down one of just the most ferocious dunks I've seen from Giannis, and that is saying something. I didn't want to call it the dagger, even though I did think it was the dagger at the time. It ended up being the dagger. What a play.
Yeah, okay, I do have it pulled up. So it starts out with like you were saying, Drew gets it down low. He does kick it out to Pat in the corner, who gets it to Chris, who gets it to Giannis.
Oh, okay. It was Pat.
Running downhill.
That's the part I had messed up. Okay.
But it's just absolutely beautiful. They're using what I had been clamoring for this entire offseason, which is getting Giannis in motion downhill as sort of a secondary creator, because he has the opportunity there to play make on his own, but he doesn't need to because he has a wide open lane to go dunk the ball in that situation. And he looks so happy, man. That was wild. That was an insane amount of emotion that you don't really see from Giannis.
That was maybe the highest moment of the season so far?
I would say so.
I think it felt to me in the moment like probably the most unbridled joy I've felt this year watching the Bucks. And you could see it on Giannis's face that he felt the same way. But it was just like the brightest spot possible. And what's been a very up and down season, lately more ups, getting Drew back a huge up. The Bucks optimist in me is back alive, baby. So I love the Drew Holiday purchase. I think it's a great call. Even if there is a little bit of rust, I think we all know how great he is, how important
he is. Hey, this might be the rust game. This might have been the rust game.
That might be it. That might be it. And even if he's not knocking down shots right away, you see his impact even when he isn't. We already covered how plus minus is so noisy. I do think it's interesting that he's a plus 10 despite being 1-for-5 from the field. I think 0-for-3 from deep. Drew Holiday, hell of a ball player. So happy to have him back. I would have gone in with you on Drew, but I want to spice things up on the market a little bit.
I feel like we
just keep making the same investments, or at least very similar investments. So let's get a little crazy. I'm going to go in, and I feel like this is a next level buy for me.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, J.J. Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, J.J. breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcast.
Cheers. Of Dante DiVincenzo
for
a total of 22. Two white Dante. Here's the thing. And obviously, you know, I have a checkered past of beef with Dante DiVincenzo, my mortal enemy. Just kidding. But
he may be his mortal enemy, pardon me.
Right. It's a one-way street. It's a one-way street with me and Dante. Only Giannis' stock has risen more in the last few days than Dante, who went from 5 as of game 30 now to 11, including 1+3 for literally closing out the Pelicans game with a charge and a ton of clutch shots, some terrific ball handling. He brought back more of the same in this game, and I made my Carson Wentz comparison. I stand by it. I'm still ready to get hurt again. He doesn't shoot particularly well in this game, but I still thought it was a strong overall game for Dante DiVincenzo, who contributes a steal, a clutch steal, 7 rebounds, some big rebounds. Again, he doesn't hit any of his three. Or he hits one of them, but he feels like he hits none of them. He misses both of his 3 free throws. But I still just feel like Dante has looked like a different player these past few games. I'm a little hesitant to do this, but the way that he's been playing lately feels like maybe he's going to prove us wrong about this point guard thing.
Yeah.
Am I going too far? Where are you at on Dante?
So I think the thing with Dante is that he's just, I don't know. It seems like he can be a little over aggressive sometimes.
Oh, definitely.
Maybe a little, definitely a little over aggressive. It's just, I don't know. I want to see it consistently. I really do, because we see these stretches now and then, like we see down stretches. We're seeing an upstretch right now. If he keeps this going, maybe I'll start to believe. I can't literally invest in it yet.
Yeah. He needs to consistently continue to make shots, but there's a very interesting push and pull that goes on with his role. And it's going to be fascinating to see how that particular situation develops as Drew gets back to playing full starter minutes again. You know, we're seeing Chris Middleton play more aggressively than we have, some beautiful shot making in this game, although he does finish with just 19 points on 6-for-14 shooting. Still a good overall game from Chris, 8 assists, so he took some of that playmaking role back. I don't know, Dante just looks different out there. I feel like
yeah.
I feel like I've you get push and pull every single game with Dante. I come away feeling strongly a different way. I mean, we call DJ apolarizing, and I love that during these breakdowns of all these different players, there's just a DJA argument happening in the chat right now.
Hey, but yeah, Eric's saying, yeah, layup maker Dante is the best Dante. I will agree with that.
Yeah, and he's been making them lately. It's when Pat C missed the dunker spot layup, and that's what Dante. That's probably what got Dante the upside today. Like, he feasts in that dunker zone, man. Like, Giannis knows where to find him, and he's finally finishing stuff from there. But after, I think it was in the Eurogroup Discord. If you want, if folks listening want to get in there, just tweet Rohan or I a screenshot of you subscribed, rating and reviewing 5 stars, or just listening to the Eurostep if you don't use Apple Pods. But we do love the Apple Pods. Love. But I said in the Discord, Dante wouldn't have missed that. He would have done like a 360 out of bounds, flip turn layup over his foot that goes in. He makes some ridiculous layups. I don't know why they're so hard. It doesn't look like they need to be that hard. Now I sound like Doris Burke talking about hardness,
oh,
but
no.
But he's making them, and that's what matters.
Yeah. Okay, I was not expecting that one. Yeah, there was the first points for Dante where he cut back door. Giannis found him. He just had a double clutch layup for no reason, even though he was wide open. Like, they just lay it up. There's no need to make it this difficult. There's no defender anywhere close to you.
Dante reminds me, I played a lot of football in middle school just with my buddies, and we had this one friend, Rob, and he jumped every time he threw him the football, even if it's, like, to his tummy. He would just jump for no reason. And we started making fun of him. So, like, why are you jumping every single time? Like, the ball is at your shoelaces. You're, like, diving forward to catch it. That's Dante in the layups. Like, every single time, he's gonna exaggerate the hell out of it. But I will say, this is my thing with shooters now, too, because I used to, you know, try, oh, and he's got this weird hitch and his elbow's in the wrong place. If he can make the shot doing that, he can make the shot doing that. Like, I'm not going to question it anymore. That's where I'm at with Dante and his weirdly hard layups.
Oh, no. Can I say something really quickly? So the Bucks just tweeted, this is actually after the game ended. They tweeted, you know, the highlights and stats from the game, like 105, 100, and the caption was Milwaukee our way.
Milwaukee? Like, oh, that's pretty good.
No, like the Clippers, they do LA our way. They have billboards and stuff like that to differentiate themselves from the Lakers.
Oh, so some shots.
So that's just, that's just beautiful.
I like the shots. I like the shots. Justin in the chat saying Pat asking for the foul was pretty funny. An all-time terrible ask for a foul. It was hilarious. He immediately holds up and just starts, like, banging on his elbow. Or not his elbow. What's that area between the wrist and that? Forearm.
Forearm.
Forearm. Medical student high checking in. Not really. Clearly. But he's just, like, slapping his forearm like it's freaking Dame time o'clock or something. It's just nice try, Pat. Nice try. Going for the superstar call. It didn't work out. I don't think anyone was surprised he didn't get the call after the forearm slap.
Yeah, it's just he'll have his moments every now and then, and that was one of them. So,
man, I can't believe I'm holding on to 5 shots.
I know, that's wild.
That's wild.
Yeah, coming into the season, we didn't think Patsy was maybe going to be on the team before he signed the extension. And now you've invested five shares of Patsy. What a wild ride this season has been so far. Now we're just halfway done.
Imagine going back to like hour one of free agency when we were all panicking because nothing was happening and saying, just so you know, Pat and Thanasis are like major role players on this team. And you have to explain what the Bucks stock market is too. But and they're two of the highest rated players on the Bucks stock market right now. I think I would have thrown up.
I would have lost my marbles.
Oh, Pat's not that high. Actually, Thanasis is too higher than Pat. Pat's only 3 right now. But
still, he's a valuable contributor to this team. However much it pains me to say that. So you've made an investment here. You've bought 1 share of Dante?
2 shares.
2 shares of Dante, pardon me?
2 shares of White Dante. Yeah, I'm down to 2. I'm running out of funds here.
Okay, so I have, how much do I have left here?
I think 14. 14. Yeah, you have a good deal to go.
This is tough. This is really tough here. I wish I had a little bit more to buy Chris Middleton stock, but that's a hard investment right there. I'm not really sure what to do here.
You tell me about it. I only have two options. I wish I could buy Diakite, man.
he's still killing it in the G League.
Diakite's IPO, he's going to come into the stock market like 10,000. We're not even going to be able to afford Diakite where his stock is at right now.
No, not a chance. So I've got 14 left to play with here. I think I might have to do what I don't want to do here, and that is buy one share of Bryn Forbes.
Oh, he goes from shorting to investing. I love it. Bryn won Rohan over, folks. Put that on the record, wherever the record is.
No, he really did. Like, I've been trying to short him for 3 straight weeks now, and it has not paid off, so might as well invest.
I told you
last week, if the short did not pay off, I was not going to short him again. So if I can't do that, might as well buy.
You did indeed say that. I will confirm that you said that. I like to buy. I mean, I think everyone knows how I feel about Bryn. I just think he's really good. I think he's better on defense than people expect. And the shot maker. He didn't get one block today, but I think that comes with the territory when, like, whenever he does those, like, I don't know how it's how to travel, the, like, 15-step curl around top of the arc threes, you know he's shooting from, like, the second he makes contact with the screen and is going around the screen. Like, it doesn't matter what the hell is going on in the game, on planet Earth. Like, if he saw a meteor crashing through the arena ceiling as he catches the ball, it wouldn't matter. That ball is going toward the rim. At least he's going to try to get the shot up at least. I'm a big Bryn Forbes guy is what I'm trying to say.
You have won me over. Bryn has won me over. I'm actually investing in him now. He's really comfortable in his role now. He really is. And especially with Drew back now, he's not going to be asked to do too much on the floor out there. He's going to get even more open looks now probably. So I don't know. I might be – who knows? Like, after I buy him now, he might just fall off a cliff in terms of his value, which would be the most me thing to happen ever. But, hey, I gotta make some risky moves here, and Bryn Forbes is going to be my investment.
Listen, the Bucks stock market is no place for the faint of heart.
No stock market is there. That's true.
We are not financial advisors.
No, we are not.
Investments. They'll only make buck stock market investments because of our advice, which is not real money. Are you ready for a wild changing the game investment here with my last $2?
I'm trying to think about what you could do here. That's a wild game changing investment for $2.
Selling my Brook Lopez share.
Ooh, wait, what?
Yeah.
Oh!
It cost me $2 to get off of this, and it's actually worth it for me. So I'm going to go back and instead of my only options to actually buy, because the rules are, if anyone's unaware, and if you're unaware of the Bucks stock market, check mine or Rohan's Twitter. We're always tweeting about it. We basically rate the Bucks every single game, and the GameStop stuff, actually we did this first, but the GameStop stuff made it more fun. But we actually keep track of performance and literally invest in Bucks stock. It's super fun. If you're listening to this, you probably figured it out already. But if you hadn't, here you go. But we're not allowed to buy if someone is negative value. So, like, I can't, you know, buy 20 shares of Mike Budenholzer and profit $20 immediately because that doesn't make any sense. So, literally, I could have bought 2 John Horst or 1 Sam Merrill. And that's all I could have done with my $2. I just sold Sam Merrill and I'm not interested in the John Horst thing. We're going to have to wrap this with Drew Holiday extension conversation.
We do have a question about that in the chat.
Yep, and it's a good question to ask. But so I have $2, can't buy anything I want to buy right now. Let me take this Brook Lopez off my books. I'm not using the $2 for anything better. I'm not feeling optimistic. I see that price get back up to the positives. And if he's traded or anything else happens to Brook Lopez and he's off the roster, you immediately have to cash out. I don't want to get caught holding the bag here, man. I am out on Brolo.
I wish I could do that. I'm just too far.
You're too deep.
I'm in too deep. I'm in way too deep here. I have 6 shares of Brook Lopez.
You have 6 shares and 4 shares of Bud, which is like, it's like tanking. Like, you're tanking to not, again, we talked about you're Bezosing. You're not going to let, the tax man is going to take it easy on you for those negative assets.
Yeah, really. I'm out here taking my value. Meanwhile, I'm holding on to Drew Holiday, Giannis, stock out here. But it's just, I wish I could do what you're doing here. Brooke Lopez was just an absolute negative in this game.
If he's not making the threes, I'm telling you, or it's not a very specific team that he can drop against, he's just not offering anything at that point.
Yeah, he's really not. It's kind of sad. I say this all the time because his value just keeps on dropping. But it's just sad. Somehow I'm doing better than I was last week, though, when he was at negative three.
Yeah, but it was a positive week for Brooke Lopez, and he's still at negative two.
Yeah, but realistically what I'm trying to say here is I'm jealous of you just having one, and now you have zero.
I do feel bad for Brooke. I mean, he's catching so much heat. I think more and more people are coming around. I think it took me the longest, right? Or one of those. I mean, there's still some people holding out hope. I think I was one of the later people to convert. We had the whole reading materials running gag of the Brooke is Wash crew. I wanted to believe he was a 16-game player. It's just, man, he's just not getting anything done lately. Again, he makes some threes sometimes. It's great. Some of his offensive decision-making is really, really rough. But I do feel bad. I mean, I think, you know, he's obviously had great years with the Bucks, hugely important player. I'm not seeing it with him anymore.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it any better. So I have $3 left here. And I think this is going to transition us well into what we wanted to talk about next. Can you guess what I'm going to do here?
Oh, man. You're putting three more in the horse, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Oh, man. Woo! This is a good time to talk about the extension because you are betting your portfolio on it.
Yeah. I mean, I now have 5 shares of John Horstock, which is currently valued at 1 currency value. So
it's not super risky.
Not super risky. It could tank.
Yes.
Because we have passed the deadline, or the date, I should say, for when Jrue Holiday is eligible to sign an extension with the Milwaukee Bucks here. So, like I just said, that date has come, and there's no extension yet. What does that mean, Ty?
Well, it's not great, but it's not terrible. I want to say, so he was eligible all along for a 2-year, $54 million extension. That is obviously not a great deal for Jrue. And this is coming, this info is coming from Jordan Tresky's piece at Behind the Buck Pass, by the way. And he's actually quoting Yossi Goslin from Hoopstripe. So we're aggregators. You love to see it. But on February 26th, 2 days ago, Jrue became eligible for 4 years, $134.9 million. Which is a lot of dough. I think we're definitely not far from – we're not into this far enough to get nervous. I think he just got back healthy. I'm sure he's been pretty preoccupied with trying to make his return to the floor. And I think that's obviously, you know, his priority. I don't think he's been worried about the extension. I still think it will get signed. I wish it was done right away. Same thing with Giannis. And I think that's important to remember. Giannis didn't get done right away, and it ended up meaning absolutely nothing. We'll see. Maybe it's not going to be a full max. Who knows what the actual agreement is going to be. But I do think it's going to get done. I'm not concerned. Jrue has said he wants to stay long term. Although the Bucks haven't looked terrific so far this season, I don't think he would change his mind just based on the team struggling a little bit without him. If anything, maybe it's cemented, you know, clearly, hey, I'm an important piece here. This team needs me.
Yeah, it really could have. It could go a multitude of ways here. I think it's just bad timing
on
the extension part, plus, you know, Jrue, like you said, just coming back, recovering from COVID, and just, you know, starting to get his feet wet a little bit back with this team again. It's so tough because we know, and I'm sure the Bucks, obviously the Bucks know, how important Jrue Holiday is to this team. They made an investment in him. I'm sure they desperately want to keep him here long term because of all that they, you know, traded to go get him. This is probably, like I've mentioned this before, there was probably some sort of backdoor agreement that was done before Jrue
Rohan,
came.
Rohan, what are you doing? You know what? The Bucks are losing a second round pick just for you saying this.
Hey,
how could you?
NBA Kiki Vandeweghe. I don't know if Kiki handles this tampering stuff.
Kiki,
but, if you're listening to this, I'm speculating here. speculate.
Indy just got their 2025 second rounder back. Way to go, Rohan.
Yes. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Milwaukee Bucks fans, if I cost you a second round pick here. But I'm sure that there was some sort of agreement in place, because we know that the Pelicans were only talking to teams that Drew was willing to sign an extension with. I'm sure there's something in place. I'm sure this is going to get done, which is why I made the investment in John Horstock.
I do think technically Drew could get even more if he waits and re-signs in free agency as opposed to cutting the extension.
Is that true, or would they not be the same value?
Well, extension rules are really stupid in the NBA, so he might actually be able to command a little bit more. At least that's according to this article I'm reading. It looks like he could make just under $170 million over 4 years. So that could be an option. I don't know. That's a huge amount. I mean, now we're talking $43 million a year. That's like Steph Curry money.
I don't think that would happen.
I don't think that's the reason either. I think it's just still being worked on and maybe being considered on both sides. You know, this unlike the Giannis deal, which was because the Supermax is so restrictive, like you couldn't have done a 3-year quote-unquote Supermax. It had to be the whole thing. But Drew's under no such restrictions, so he could be thinking like, you know, how many years exactly do I want to tack on? Like, when do I want to become contract eligible again? Like, maybe him and the Bucks are having conversations about like, what offseason would there be the most chance for me to cash in on another deal? You know, maybe instead of signing the full 4-year extension now, maybe sign 2 or 3, and then with the kind of implied nudge, nudge, wink, wink, there goes the other Pacers second round pick, sorry, Bucks, that after that expires, Drew will find another deal with Milwaukee. Who knows? I do think Drew would just want the max years, but it is possible that both sides are thinking a little bit, you know, what length works the best on this thing. I still think it's happening, though. I think we agree on that.
Yeah, I definitely think it's happening. Maybe he wants to get – is it the year 33 that he gets a bump, or does that only apply to max contracts?
I think that's when he's not eligible to sign another contract, but they moved it back. I think that's what you're talking about.
Wait, say that again?
So there's a rule that restricts you from signing a long-term deal that takes you into your age whatever season in the – because, it, like, teams were just signing them just to basically pay players a ton for, like, 2 years and they would retire. But Chris Paul moved it back. But he's already got 10 years of service, so there shouldn't be any changes in his max, what he can make.
Okay. I just thought it's 38.
Yeah, yeah, so that restricts you from how long you can sign for past your age 38 season. So, yeah, Drew at age 30 right now in his age 30 season has plenty of time to go before he would hit that. And if Chris Paul is still in the MBPA, it'll probably be pushed back like 5 more years so he can get another
bag. 100%, yeah.
Which is exactly what happened last time.
Yep, it's wild how those ages lined up there.
Yeah, it's really, really strange that the president of the National Basketball Players Association changed the rule and – perfectly allowing him to sign another long-term deal. It's wild. There are a lot of coincidences happening in the NBPA recently.
Hey, CP3 gets things done. That's why he's an all-star.
That is absolutely correct. To quickly run back through some chat things, I wish Chris was a little better, too. I thought he was fine overall. We touched on the 8 assists. It looked a little wild sometimes. Chris asked about our thoughts on DiVincenzo. We covered him a lot earlier, and I don't disagree with George saying he takes some truly wild shots, but we covered a lot of Dante earlier as well. I'm investing. I'm believing that he's going to sustain this run, even though I already compared it to an unsustainable run in Carson Wentz. My game-to-game variance is as high as Dante's right now, so I guess that's why I had to invest in him. And those Giannis blocks were tough. We haven't talked enough about Giannis almost, I feel like.
No, we really haven't. It was just an absolutely dominating performance. Like, that block he had on Zubats was just otherworldly. It's just, I wouldn't say the block itself. It was the effort in terms of you have Zubats just charging to the rim.
And I thought there, like, was no way.
Yeah, it's who's actually going to go and try and block that? And because the most likely outcome is that you're just going to get yammed down there.
Absolute poster, yeah.
Nope, Giannis makes those plays. He is not afraid to get dunked on. And guess what? He got the block. He got the block. And it was just, that's DPOY type stuff. I doubt he's going to win it this year. I highly doubt that.
I think he should feel Gobert or Simmons. I don't think he should. Yeah.
For sure. Shouldn't win it. But he's definitely one of the best.
There's a lot of season left. Right now, I don't think he should win it. But
yeah, for sure. But I still think like Gobert, Simmons, like Embiid, they've done more. And they're more deserving than Giannis right now. But like you said, you know, like anyone else, including LeBron, would have watched Zubac dunk it, rub his hand, just didn't wait for the ball to get taken out. Great, great stuff from George. I will say, though, to counter that, the block on Zubac, given these are completely different circumstances, that reminded me of the LeBron block on Thiago Splitter in the finals.
Oh, man. That's a good comp. Two legendary blocks.
Because you just have Thiago Splitter just going full charge at the rim, and LeBron's just like, no, not a chance here. Given that is the NBA Finals, means a lot more to do it there than it is in the game 34 of a season during a plague.
Love that you casually. It's a plague. I love that. I feel like it didn't need to be said, but it makes it funnier that you actually like that you opined it into the world, just reminding everyone.
Yeah. So, George, he's a little upset that I said Embiid did a little bit. Embiid's been a dominant force this season on both ends of the floor. He does have his moments. Like you said last night, he turned into a traffic cone versus the Cavs. Sexton, Garland got everything they wanted. Yeah, that's true. But it's also just like it's a one game.
Philly has the fifth defense, and they're better actually when Embiid is on the floor without Simmons, which is kind of funny for Simmons' DPOY case. Milwaukee currently in 10th right now in defensive rating. Like, I'm honestly shocked they're top 10 after some of the games in the losing streak. I guess this winning streak has probably helped a lot. The Bucks currently, I don't know, I don't think this is not fully updated, I don't think, but as of whenever NBA stats last updated, tied exactly with Brooklyn in offensive rating, with a better net rating. But we need to see it more against good teams. Luckily, we did see it against a good team against the Clippers. But Giannis, just to wrap this up, we talked about the block and the dunk, two amazing highlights, two of the best plays of the season so far. All-around game, though, 36 points, 14 rebounds, 4 offensive, 5 assists, 1 steal, 4 blocks, plus 4 turnovers, and just 2 fouls for the Greek Freak. Another amazing game from Giannis.
Yeah, Doris Burke had a great stat that I was unaware of during the broadcast where she said before this game, Giannis had only 2 charges the entire month of February.
I know, and she had to jinx him, though.
I know, he did draw one. That is 3 charges in the entire month of February. That's insane. That shows how much Giannis has been growing.
That's a stat to watch for sure.
Because we've seen games where he has 3 in a game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And now he's 3 in an entire month, given it's the shortest month of the year. But still, the point stays the same. He's definitely growing. He's going around the barrier. I refuse to say it still.
I know. I'm fine with you not saying
it. I cringe when people say it on TV.
I think I said barrier in a tweet today out of respect for you.
We got to change the narrative here. It's got to start somewhere.
Oh, no, I just said doesn't have a lane to the hoop. I walked around it. I walked around the barrier.
Just like Giannis has been doing.
Yeah. That's perfect. Let's do our shorts. I feel like this is one of the more wild stock market pods, but I've liked the wildness. I think it's fun.
Yeah, it's understandable considering how big of a game it follows up. But
yeah, exactly. It's a lot different than a typical stock pod, but we're versatile.
Okay, so our shorts of the week. I have to pick someone that is not Bryn Forbes for the first time.
I'm seriously considering picking Bryn Forbes just to troll you.
Honestly, I would do the same thing.
I won't do it, but I thought about it.
So my short of the week, it pains me to do this. It really does. It's got to be Bobby Portis.
Really? Bobby Portis at plus 17. He has been rising quickly.
He has been rising quickly. I feel like, I don't know, he's going to have a little bit of a rough patch here. Everyone does. I'm just guessing here, speculation. But it's got to drop. Or maybe he just turns into my new Bryn Forbes, and then Bryn Forbes just crashes. But Bobby Portis is going to be my short of the week. He's at 17 right now. 17, that's the second highest on the team, tied with Chris Middleton.
Listen, in fairness, Drew Holiday missed 10 straight games. I think he'd comfortably be tied for third. But the way he's defended recently, the turnovers he's generated in the paint, he's snagging passes lately. He's forcing jump balls. He's contesting triples. He puts himself in the right spots, which is not something anybody, including myself, expected to say about Bobby Portis. But he puts himself in smart spots on both sides of the ball. On offense, he'll just decide to not miss, which is terrific. It's so fun watching him on offense. But on defense, he's been capable. I still think a little bit of it is like addition by subtraction when he's out there without Brooke. Like, I think just everything looks better, and that helps Bobby's face. But he's been legitimately good. I'm not touching the short on Bobby Portis. I'm refusing to do it. It's been too many games where he just looks like a great buck. I'm in. I said today, we need 5 more years of Bobby Portis. I'm in on Bobby. I can't short him.
Okay, I'm going to take that risk here. So who's your short?
This pains me. Going with the other big man, Brook Lopez.
Ooh.
Shorting Brolo. I sold Brolo, and I'm shorting Brolo. He's already negative 2. He could certainly stay or, you know, climb back up to around 0. I wouldn't be shocked at that either. Against teams without great shooting, I think he looks a lot more comfortable and he can impact the game a little bit more. I haven't looked ahead to the last few games here before the break. So there's a chance that I lose out here again. But, you know, I'm not basing this off his current price, obviously, just on what I'm seeing and just I feel like a disappointed parent more than a blogger or podcaster or whatever. Like, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. And I'm concerned that I'm still going to be disappointed. So this for me is kind of a win-win, right? Like, either he disappoints me more, but I get the extra $5 to invest next week, or he plays better and I get to watch good Brook Lopez and I don't get the money to spend. So this feels like a no-lose scenario for me.
You know what? That's honestly fair.
And it's kind of the same for you, right? Like, if Bobby Portis finally doesn't play well, you win. But if he keeps playing well, Bobby Portis keeps playing well, and that's great.
Yeah, it is. I don't know. Who do they play next? They play Denver next.
That could get bad, Bubba. But Denver struggled. Denver struggled a little bit. But
yeah, they play Denver on Tuesday. Then they play Memphis on Thursday. Then it's time for the All-Star break. So we have 2 games until our next episode, and it's against Denver and Memphis. So I think Brooke could make up some ground here. But
Memphis has been struggling. I will say, I mean, Jokic is cooking everybody, but he's not, like, very fast. So Brooke actually kind of held in against him in the last Denver game, although they did pull him late. Memphis, like Valanciunas, I think is a guy that Brook Lopez can do well against. So yeah, that might have been bad on my part. We got a special pod coming between those games.
Yes,
not announcing yet. Let's just tease. I never want to announce something like this before because you never know what could, like, anything could fall through or scheduling or whatever. You know, I hate to do that. So we got to just tease it, but anticipating. I mean, we kind of gave it away last episode, so listen to the last episode we have it. But
yeah, we're not going to completely give it away, but we do have a special episode coming up.
Special midweek episode coming next week. Justin says, Ursan, we're working on that one. It's not that one. We're working on that.
Yeah.
Dana never followed me back, man.
We need to be more aggressive on that front.
Yeah, we do. We gotta get our people in contact with Ursan's person. Apparently, it's just one person. But
okay. You know what's funny? Just to wrap this up a little bit.
Yeah.
In the month of February, the Bucks played 15 games, and they went on 3 streaks. They started a 5-game winning streak, then they had a 5-game losing streak, and now they have a 5-game winning streak.
Luckily, there's not enough time for them to close it out with a Thanos, you know, a balanced, perfect as all things should be, 5-game losing streak. So that's
why. Why'd you speak that into existence?
It can't happen, Rohan. I spoke into existence because it's impossible.
It's very possible.
Well, not in this month.
Well, yeah, because the month's over.
Exactly. That's why I said it. It was a no risk statement.
Okay.
Yeah. Not saying
in this month. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. In February alone. Yeah. It's not possible.
Okay. I was like, if this is the next 5 games, this is on you.
This is my 3rd straight strong statement. DJA is not Giannis. What was the math one from last time? I don't even remember. Doesn't matter. And my new strong statement, my new hot take. Bucks are not going to lose 5 straight this February.
Yep.
Again. Again. Oh, brother.
Yeah, All-Star is coming up. We got Anfernee Simons and Cassius Stanley will be in the dunk contest. That's going to be insane. That's going to be
wild. I heard
that
Robert Covington was in the skills challenge.
Yes, he is.
What skills?
Why do you have to do that?
Capable on-ball defense? Is that one of the skills in the skills challenge?
He's the only active HBCU alum in the NBA.
Oh, man. Why didn't anyone tell me that before the pod? Now it's cool. I don't think he's going to do that well. Sorry, Robin.
I hope he does well.
I hope he wins it. I hope he wins it. I absolutely deserve to look stupid for that. I didn't know the reason. Is Anthony Simons that good of a dunker?
Anthony Simons has some bounce. I don't know how it's going to translate to actually, like, show dunks, but who knows?
Apparently I got to watch the dunk contest. I didn't know Cassius Stanley had that kind of bounce either.
Oh, he's got some bunnies.
Huh. I guess I'm not aware of dunkers these days.
I feel like there's a bunch of guys that in the NBA that have, like, just wild, wild verts, but it just doesn't translate, so I'm excited to see how these translate.
I have two.
There's two of them on this team.
Which two?
Take a wild guess.
Dante and Pat?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see that they're the best two-man lineup in the NBA?
Yes, they are. Plus 22.
Beautiful. What a beautiful stat. Advanced stats stink, but they're beautiful. And I just want to say officially, I'm now repping Robert Covington in the Skills Challenge. Go Tennessee State. I'm all about it. Let's go. Robert Covington.
A wild turnaround.
Well, I didn't know it was a cool thing. I thought it was – this. My thought process was like they had to find somebody and nobody else wanted to do it, so they made Roko do it. I wasn't aware it was cool.
It's cool.
I'm on board. Sorry, Roko. He's a good on-ball defender. I wasn't wrong. I did compliment him in the diss.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get a chance to see if he's actually, you know, got some skills. Depends on who else is in the contest.
Brandon Knight had a good run at it once.
I remember being so excited to see Brandon Knight in the skills challenge because it was him at All-Star, even though he should have been an All-Star that year.
Kyle Korver.
Made it to the finals.
Yeah.
He lost. Who did he lose to? I shouldn't remember this.
Pat Bev?
I'm glad I don't remember.
Pat Bev. I'm almost positive it was Pat Bev.
Oh, boy.
That's how much of a Brandon Knight fan I was. And then, yeah, Giannis going to Rising Stars used to be a big thing. I miss being there too, Eric. Shout out to how different Bucks fandom is now. Now we're pissed we didn't get a second/third All-Star. Back in the day, it was like, Brandon Knight in the skills challenge? Hell yeah, let's go. We're partying all All-Star weekend. We get to watch B. Knight make chess passes.
It's nice to see someone represent your team on the biggest stage. And now the team is the biggest stage.
Ooh, I like that. That was fire. That was heat.
Yeah. I mean, I was really worried that this game was going to be a stinker because it's a Sunday matinee game. And it was on ABC.
Really, really good Sunday game, all told.
Yeah, maybe Giannis got his nap in early.
We love to see Giannis get his nap in.
Yeah, because they've legitimately struggled because he hasn't gotten his nap in games in the past. That's a real thing. I'm not just making it up. Bobby Portis in 3-point contest. There was some buzz to that.
It's in chat. Okay.
He was asked about it and said, would you participate? Because he is like one of the league leaders in 3-point percentage.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, I'd participate. And he was like, he backed it up on Twitter, too. So let's get Bobby in the 3-point contest.
Let's get Bobby in the 3. You know, let's go fun with the 3-point contest like they did with the skills challenge a couple years ago. Like, Bobby Portis, Chris Boucher. Like, let's get big in the 3-point contest. The big guys doing this stuff, I'm sorry, except for the dunk contest, objectively more fun than little guys.
I think the problem is it's too slow.
Yeah. Probably.
Like, I don't know if Bobby would get all the shots off.
I don't think Boucher would.
No, Boucher would not.
They should do a separate one where Boucher gets to try and block them.
Ooh.
I think he would win if he got to block everybody else's attempts, like from under the hoop he starts, like on every ball. I don't know how that would work. He'd block a lot of them. Chris Boucher is nuts.
Yeah, it's the athleticism, like, it's unparalleled. He's also like 28. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it took him a while to get to the league. He was a bouncer.
Yeah,
not a literal bouncer. He bounced around leagues. He wasn't. I don't know if he worked as a bouncer. Potentially.
I thought you'd. Okay, whatever.
I mean, he would not let you. You're not getting in the club against Chris Boucher if he doesn't want you in there.
Oh, not a chance.
He
not
would have
a
been
chance.
An elite bouncer. I don't think he did that, but if he did, I would have hired him for sure.
I would just be intimidated.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't even try to get in. If he said no,
you get around him. You think you get around him, and he's like got your ankle from 18 feet away, and you're just getting thrown.
Oh yeah, no, there's no chance. He would honestly be like the best. Crispy said, when you retire, you got to gig lined up.
I feel like he could probably do better, but he would be great at it.
Okay,
I feel like now that we're talking, yeah, now that we're talking about Chris Boucher as a bouncer, I feel like that informs us that it's probably time to wrap.
Yeah, it probably is here. We've had some great interaction here on Locker Room. I feel like we didn't even say this up top for the pod.
Oh, reason. Yeah.
But, yeah, we're doing our stock market episodes now live on Locker Room. I tweeted it out beforehand. We're going to be, you know, we're going to be doing this, getting some good fan interaction here in the chat. And it's just, it's good. It's really good. And we're going to keep doing this going forward. We're going to be doing a lot more on Locker Room going forward. So just stay tuned. Make sure to follow both of us. It's just our Twitter handles, but on Locker Room. Make sure to follow us on Twitter. And I guess I should say, if we're wrapping it up here, thank you for listening to this episode of the Eurostep here on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. A lot of exciting stuff coming up. We've teased some stuff earlier.
Yes.
Just a lot of stuff coming up across the entire network. Make sure to stop. Check out as much content as you can because it's Blue Wire to the Moon, I was saying. Not Top Shot to the Moon, Blue Wire to the Moon. But yeah, make sure you tell your friends and family about the show. Rate, review, subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. Please stay safe, everyone, and we will talk to you next time.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.